There's been an air of optimism in the city of Buffalo due to the sight of construction cranes dotting the skyline. However, the health of our city's public education system is in grave condition despite recent efforts to establish new and experienced leadership within the district. Given the severity of problems facing Buffalo's public schools, I'm seriously concerned that any regional economic progress will be hindered since the majority of high school students lack the basic skills required to become contributing members of the workforce. The continued failure of the Buffalo Public Schools, or as I call it, the BPS, to produce young people ready for college or a career is our city's greatest barrier to continued economic development. Data from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics shows an inextricable link between education levels and unemployment rates. Specifically, individuals who do not graduate from high school experience an unemployment rate that is 3 times higher than their more educated peers. As the gap continues to grow between Buffalo's workforce needs and the availability of local educated employees with the skills to meet these needs, repairing our broken education system becomes increasingly important in determining the future stability of our whole region. By many accounts, the pool of eligible members of our local workforce is constrained by low graduation rates. The BPS student graduation rate in 2014 was 55%, a slight decline from the previous year of 56%. Although it's generally accepted that these statistics are evidence of a larger nationwide problem, do you realize that the city of Buffalo graduates a smaller percentage of its students than cities such as New Orleans, Baltimore, Cleveland, Newark, and Detroit? Further, 77% of Buffalo public schools are priority or focus schools. To say it differently, 4 out of every 5 Buffalo public schools are now failing based on academic standards established by the New York State Education Department. Conversely, across New York State, approximately 4 out of every 5 schools are in good academic standing. Buffalo's resolution to this problem is seemingly to close existing buildings and reopen them with a new name while simply shuffling administration and the same students. While this remedy may obtain a temporary seal of good standing, it ultimately fails to address the underlying problems. Every child can thrive with the right teaching in the right environment. Like any community, Buffalo's future is dependent on its children, as our children are dependent on us today. By any yardstick, our public school system has been in decline for a long period of time, and today it must be considered a dismal failure. A failure that costs $1 billion every year. There are major systemic flaws which, if left unchecked, will continue to destroy any hope of improving academic performance and the outcomes of our students. In the Buffalo Public School District, there are over 8,000 high school-age students. These students are separated by those who test into academically criteria-based institutions or competitive high schools, of which there are 4, City Honors, Homestead, Hutch Tech, and Leonardo da Vinci. The remaining students attend what I'll refer to as 13 general admission high schools, of which 12 are considered failing based on the standards established by the New York State Education Department. Given that only 2,300 students attend the four competitive high schools in 2014, the academic year, while over 6,000 attended the remaining 13 general admission high schools, it is no surprise that our graduation rate over the past 10 years has averaged just 55%. Given these groupings of students, on the surface it would seem the problem is simply a capacity issue, and the solution would be to add more seats in the high-performing competitive schools. However, when looking at the district's standardized state test performance for incoming freshmen, students across the 13 general admission high schools, shockingly, 95% and 98% of students were not proficient or able to test at grade level in English language arts and mathematics, respectively. That means in some schools there was only one incoming freshman who was on the grade level for English and math. And sadly, in some of those instances, it wasn't even the same student. This data clearly suggests that the capacity of the facilities is not the issue. As I contemplated this troubling student performance data, my first instinct was to consider the potential impact of test scoring under the state's much maligned Common Core initiative. However, after studying the longitudinal performance of this same incoming freshman class, it was apparent that last year's standardized test scores were not an anomaly, but rather the continued effect of a lifetime of substandard education. Analyzing historic test performance for incoming freshmen at the general admission high schools shows that only 36% of these students were proficient in third grade English language arts, and even that performance had slowly eroded to 5% of the entire cohort by the eighth grade. Math scores were no different. Last year's general admission high school freshmen began third grade with 57% of the group scoring at proficiency. But as the time amassed in the city schools, that number quickly deteriorated to only 2% of the entire cohort scoring at proficiency by the time they were dispersed to the city's 13 general admission high schools. This correlation suggests that the longer students are in Buffalo Public Schools, the worse they will ultimately perform. Now, are there a number of factors impacting this decline in learning? Of course there are. Is there enough blame to share for parents, students, teachers, and administration? Most likely. However, by ninth grade, no matter how much remediation is necessary, it's too late. We cannot remediate hope for the student who's been passed along from elementary to middle and now high school without regard for their individual retention. How can you truly inspire a child to enter into an environment of high academic expectations when he or she is beset by low levels of confidence and a history of subpar performance and little to no motivation to achieve excellence? Sadly, we haven't found the answer to that question. However, while some may criticize that it's easy to sit back and pass judgment, we at M&T Bank are continuously attempting to do our part to solve the problem. Our involvement in public education began in 1993 when a partnership was formed between the former Buffalo Public School 68 and M&T Bank. We are proud that in the span of 3 years, one of Buffalo's worst performing schools became one of its best. And we eventually transformed the institution into Westminster Community Charter School. Over the ensuing years, M&T has remained committed to this partnership by expanding the school's physical assets, introducing an innovative curriculum, offering best practice symposiums to educators from other school districts, and investing more than $21 million in education turnaround efforts in the city of Buffalo, with over $12 million at Westminster alone. However, it's important to note that while our commitment has not wavered during this time period, we have worked with 8 different superintendents who've overseen the district. Building upon this success, in 2011, we were honored to learn that we were one of only 5 out of 339 applicants across the entire country who received a Promised Neighborhood grant from the United States Department of Education. Since then, we've leveraged that initial $6 million grant into more than $30 million of additional support by bringing to fruition a major initiative in Buffalo aimed at improving the lives of over 3,000 children living in one of the city's poorest neighborhoods. The Buffalo Promise neighborhood includes Westminster Community Charter School and Highgate Heights Elementary School, as well as a new state-of-the-art early childhood education center named the Buffalo Promise Neighborhood Children's Academy, which opened in September of 2013 and serves 100 infants, toddlers, and preschool children. Further, we feel privileged have been approved by the New York State Education Department to serve as the Education Partnership Organization for Highgate Heights, which will enable us to accelerate reform efforts in this school. All of these initiatives, intended to create a cradle-to-career pipeline, are ones in which I take the deepest possible personal interest, and are a demonstration of the commitment that M&T is as serious about achieving positive results in support of education improvements as we are in the business of the bank. Yet, despite our commitment, we face serious challenges ahead. As part of the Buffalo Promise Neighborhood Initiative, we spent the last 3 years attempting to address the leadership challenges and performance problems at Bennett High School. I can attest that after personally hiring 3 additional attendance teachers with the support of our city's mayor to ensure that there would be one person to cover each grade at Bennett, we were unable to better engage failing students who were no longer interested in the learning process. In the 2013 academic year, the problem of absenteeism was so severe at Bennett that when counting all absences, 8 out of the 10 students were considered chronically absent because they missed more than 10% or 18 days of the school year. Studies have shown a direct correlation between students who are chronically absent and the increased likelihood of failing grades, poor performance, and eventually dropping out of school altogether. Yet sadly, these 18 absences were on the low end for the most chronically absent students. Astonishingly, out of this 81% of the chronic absentees by the end of the school year, 45%, or nearly one in two students at Bennett, had missed more than an entire marking period of school. And this problem was not unique to Bennett. At the other 12 general admission high schools, 67% of the students were chronically absent, with a similarly shocking one in three students having missed more than an entire marking period of school. Clearly, when it comes to the issue of academic remediation, as borne by the district's stark absenteeism rates, the high school student body, across the high school student body, I conclude that ninth grade is too late to make amends for years of educational mismanagement. If we want to truly impact student outcomes and our city's graduation rates, we must begin much earlier in the educational process by capitalizing on performance in early childhood, pre-kindergarten through fifth grade. And we must do whatever is necessary to not pass the students' problems on to the middle grades and ultimately high school. To that end, given the district's uncertainty about the status of Bennett, we decided to reinvest our time and our resources in reinforcing the importance of early childhood and elementary and middle school education. We understand the significance firsthand because we have struggled at Westminster to keep pace with the challenge of implementing the Common Core standards at the rate expected by the New York State Education Department. As a result, the performance of our students, as well as the rest of the district, has trended downward as measured by students' standardized test results in the new Common Core era. There are still serious challenges ahead. However, we can be clear in this assessment. Too many of the problems in our school manifest in high school. Therefore, it is vital that we intervene earlier in the educational process. Our focus must truly be on the progress of our youth, and that means focusing on the youngest students within our city's school system, as well as their families. Today, much is made of the need for increased parental involvement in the city schools. In this regard, we must consider that community-based schools were historically the foundation from which neighborhoods and therefore parental unity evolved. However, Buffalo Public Schools do not fill that critical role today, in large part due to faulty design. Consider that one of our Buffalo Promise Neighborhood Initiative schools, Highgate Heights Elementary, this building of 485 students receives 17 busloads of children from outside the neighborhood each day. 17 buses of children from outside the neighborhood each day. Yet, there are enough school-age children within three blocks, or less than half a mile of school, to fill the building to capacity. Further, there are 2,200 pre-K through 12th grade students living within the one square mile of the Buffalo Promise neighborhood. But these students do not attend Westminster, Highgate, or Bennett. Rather, these same 2,200 children are scattered to 56 Buffalo public schools and 20 private charter and parochial schools in the area. One may surmise the reason for this promotion of increased busing is to support the Supreme Court ruling in Brown versus the Board of Education, which desegregated schools 60 years ago. However, today in Buffalo, the overwhelming majority of students being transferred in and out of the neighborhood are entirely African American children below the poverty level, given that 82% of all BPS students qualify for free and reduced lunch. What purpose does sending children to failing schools on the other side of the city serve, other than to impede the efforts of parents who struggle with a lack of transportation and therefore are unable to participate on school-based activities? Sadly, with 77% of the schools in the district failing, it's not as if the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Rather, what we have done is purposefully design a system which fosters an additional impediment for families while continuing to deny their children the opportunity to enroll in a successful academic program. This does little more than add to the additional stress of our parents by forcing them to annually reconsider the risks and perceived benefits of moving their children from one failing school to another, as opposed to promoting the sort of ownership and engagement that a community-based school model requires. The bottom line is that we've allowed the leaders of a failing organization to perpetuate a system of failure and then question the poor performance of the masses afterwards. It is no surprise that the pipeline to academic success is narrow within the city of Buffalo. Although now is the time to refocus on investing our resources in expanding the flow of progress for our city's residents, when it comes to the source of that investment, I'm afraid the Buffalo Public School District is not capable of leading the way because the organization is wholly unsustainable. One of the factors impacting the district's poor financial performance is undeniably our region's population decline and its subsequent impact on the school system as a whole. Since 2000, while the population of Buffalo has declined 11%, the number of students in Buffalo Public Schools has declined by nearly 30%. This equates to more than 13,000 students leaving the district over the last decade. In other words, due to the attraction of charter schools and the general discontent with the quality and reputation of our city schools, among other factors, students are leaving Buffalo Public Schools at three times the rate of the city's population decline. Although the district has historically consolidated the number of school buildings, there is more to be done. Based on the most recent published enrollment numbers, between 2007 and 2012, the number of buildings within Buffalo Public Schools remained at 56, while the district lost 3,000 students, or the equivalent of two classrooms per school building. As a matter of sound fiscal management, taking the opportunity to further right-size the district based on the continued decline of student population should be one of the top priorities for a district in persistent financial distress. Instead, the New York State Education Department approved a $1.4 billion expenditure that has been spent over 10 years to reconstruct 48 schools and upgrade technology and energy efficiencies. Although the district has historically consolidated the number of school buildings, there's more to be done. Based on the most recently published enrollment numbers, between 2007 and 2012, the number of buildings within BPS remained at 56 schools, while the district lost 3,000 students. Whoops, I'm repeating myself. Or the equivalent of two classrooms per school building. When it comes to the problem of improving student outcomes, giving more money to the district is not the solution. As of the 2012 academic year, BPS last reported spending $22,193 per student annually in total expenditures. For comparison, consider the Amherst Central School District spends $16,689 per student and had a four-year total cohort graduation rate of 93% in 2012-2013. Buffalo Public Schools spent over $5,500 more per student and graduated only 56% of the four-year cohort. Since BPS began reporting this number in 2008, per pupil spending has increased by 30.5%, while the graduation rate has decreased by 3% over the same five-year period. This is a clear demonstration that the district's poor performance is not a matter of inadequate funding. Furthermore, Buffalo Public Schools now pay more retirees than active teachers per year. This astounding fact seems preposterous when weighing the poor performance issues of any size organization, let alone a billion-dollar enterprise that has now shifted to paying more people who aren't working than those who are. When considering the number of retirees versus active teachers in the district, in 2014, BPS reported there were 3,922 retirees in the system, as opposed to just 3,499 active teachers. And if this imbalance wasn't alarming enough, it comes at a cost of $105 million per year in retiree health insurance and pension contributions, or the equivalent of $3,199 per student. This number is only projected to increase, with the gap between the number of retirees and active teachers increasing to nearly 1,000 more retirees than teachers over the next 4 years. This is because BPS projects to have approximately 4,300 paid retirees by 2017, while projecting to keep the number of active teachers the same. Is there any wonder why the district projects a cumulative deficit of over $52 million over the next 4 years? Not when the biggest loss drivers are understandably retiree health insurance and pension contribution. However, if this projected deficit was not condemning enough, the final nail is driven home by the fact that when the district commissioned an actuarial study to project the total impact of this retiree imbalance according to their 2013 financial statements, BPS will face accumulated liabilities of $1.9 billion in post-employment benefits, all of which are currently unfunded. When considering the overwhelming sum of these factors, the bottom line is clear. If our city truly expects to leverage the economic opportunities afforded us through reinvigorated investments in job growth and infrastructure, then we must face the challenges that threaten to ruin our public education system by partnering with public and private leaders to evoke positive, sustainable change. While the United Nations appropriates $1 billion annually to support peacekeeping activities around the world, the Buffalo Public School District spends approximately the same amount to operate an indebted school district that produces dismal outcomes year after year. These poor results must change. The school district system is in need of radical change. Incremental experiments are not good enough. We must do whatever it takes to accomplish the results our students deserve. We have to scrutinize every aspect of the system, including the work M&T has done. Therefore, we can no longer afford the luxury of critiquing a shared public system without taking the time to lend our individual talents and attention to addressing its problems. My hope is that we can come together to establish a bold and innovative approach to reforming education in the Buffalo Public Schools and thus improve the future outlook for our children and, more importantly, our community. The future of our children and the city of Buffalo itself is in our hands. It is imperative that we act, and we act now. Thank you.
Mr. Wilmers, thank you so much. We are going to take your questions from the cards that were left on your seats, so please write up some questions for us. We will do our best over the next hour to get to as many as possible during our conversation. I just want to thank Mr. Wilmers, M&T Bank, and Canisius College for allowing WBFO to be a part of this. We are on a second year of our mission of focus on education. And it is provided through the American Graduate through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. We've had a two-year grant to conduct Focus on Education reporting, and we're doing in-depth reports, and it's also outreach through WNED Television and WBFO. We are going to be hosting some town hall-style meeting this spring, and we continue doing as many reports as possible to bring the voices of our students to the airwaves as well. So we thank you so much to be a part of this tonight and be a part of this conversation. So, Mr. Wilmers, you just ended your speech calling for radical change, and you've caused quite a bit of buzz from what I'm hearing, having this conversation just after Governor Cuomo delivered his State of the Union today, regarding many massive reforms for education that we haven't heard before from him. So the big burning question may be, is it time for a state takeover of the system here in Buffalo?
We have so many different problems, which I've outlined, that there is no simple answer. Certainly takeover must be considered a possibility. You know, I think it's important that we all work together to come up with a better system. We couldn't have a worse one than we have today.
He also mentioned mayoral style control in his proposals today. Do you see that perhaps beginning with legislation on that level?
I think that's an interesting possibility.
Do you support any of his proposals that he put forth today? Do you see them as something that could make a difference and change for our failing districts?
I don't mean ducky, Eileen. If you tell me what he proposed, I'll tell you what I think. I was more focused on giving a speech tonight than what he had to say.
Well, let me ask you this. Charter schools, would that be a solution?
We've had a number of charter schools that have been more successful than the public school system. We've had some that weren't, but it's certainly something that should be seriously considered. That's a lot of questions.
It sure is. You had some very harsh remarks for the Buffalo School District. Even heard a little bit of comment from the audience, a little bit of sound underneath when you made your comment. In response to that, What is the solution for the city school district if they're not capable?
I think whether it's mayoral control or charter schools or a different approach to education, what is certainly obvious today is that we've had the worst of all worlds, and we've got to focus on change and working on change together.
Because we have so many questions, I will begin with them. How much is spent per year for each student at Westminster Charter School and for other Promise schools?
As far as Highgate Heights is concerned, the expense is all borne by the Board of Education. It's just another public school which we support. We're involved in a number of ways, and there's got to be some extra money spent there, but I don't know how much. And when it comes to the charter school system, the state allocates each year how much money goes to the Buffalo Public Schools, and the Buffalo Public Schools are obliged to give 2/3 of that amount to any charter school such as Westminster. And I'm drawing a blank as to what's the number, David? $12,000.
This goes back to charter.
But then we put in an extra amount, and I haven't done all the arithmetic.
This goes back to charter schools again. Since so many public schools are failing, how would you see the transition from public to charter schools as a successful endeavor?
It's same questions, same answer.
Education in the 21st century includes use of technology. They refer to tablets, desktops, and having access to the internet to log in to education apps. Unless we invest in this technology for our children, the children will continue to fall behind. Most neighborhoods on the east and west sides of Buffalo lack libraries. Oh, there's more, sorry. But with a simple technology, you bring the library back to backpacks using affordable tablets today. Today, kids in the third world countries are investing in technology, and yet Buffalo continues to offer obsolete learning tools. Mr. Wilmer, can you change this? I think they might be asking for internet connectivity in homes is very low for those families.
I was talking to a guy today who's got a small business in Buffalo, and he needs machinists, he needs welders. He finds that it's easier to go to schools in Springville and Ellicottville to hire people out of high school than it is here in Buffalo. And he said, what use does it have? What use is there to have a person who's had some welding instruction but doesn't know how to read? And I don't know where tablets fit in there. But obviously, I don't know. I'm no expert on the Buffalo public school system and the ins and outs of it. I just know I know something about the results because of our involvement with three schools and a little digging on my part because I've been so disturbed about what's going on. But I'm a banker. I'm not an educator. I wouldn't know how to. What would be the best way to change the educational system radically? The only thing I know is the numbers stink and something has to be done. But you shouldn't rely on me to change the system. I'll just create the noise.
Do you feel there exists overregulation of the schools by the New York State Education Department?
I don't know who's overregulating what, but there is an awful lot of regulation. What's imposed by law, what's imposed by regulation, what's imposed by the state, what's imposed by the public school system itself, but it's awfully difficult to get any answers on anything.
The county of Erie needs to be part of the solution. Would, in your opinion, a property tax exemption for private school education be worthwhile? This person says that they support it and that they are willing to propose it. This is from our Erie County Comptroller, Stefan Mihailu.
It sounds like part of his next campaign. I think Stefan knows better than any of us that putting together a balanced budget is an art, and spending the right amount of money for the different services that a community needs, and imposing taxes that the community can bear. And it would be too facile of me to sit here and decide what that right combination is.
But do you see some sort of participation on a county level that would assist on the city side?
When it comes to the finances of the city, the state, and the county, it's all a balancing act. The only thing I'm sure of is that there is many too many costs imposed on the city and the county by the state. But that's been going on for a long time.
How important do you see the Buffalo public school system to the success of Buffalo businesses? And a second question to that is, how important is it to attract talent to Buffalo?
First of all, I think I pretty much covered that in my speech. Unless we do a better job of educating our young, we cannot have a strong and vibrant community here. More and more, there's been a flight to the suburbs. Part of the reason is because the educational systems are better. On the other hand, I don't know of any case of you having a strong, vibrant community where the core is rotten, but it's all working well outside.
This question concerns control board. Why can't we impose a control board for the Buffalo Public School with similar powers to the control board that was established for the city of Buffalo?
Well, that gets pretty technical, and if the Board of Education has a balanced budget, there's no reason to impose a control board. And I think in recent years, the state has given quite a bit of money to the Board of Education, so there's been no reason for a control board. A control board are put in place when the finances of a educational system or a city or a county are economically not viable, and it's a disciplinary action. A control board is not there to improve education.
What role do you see for the teacher education programs of our local colleges in preparing a new, new generation of school administrators and classroom teachers.
I'm a banker. I don't know. I'm sure we're educating a lot of good teachers, or teachers that are young people that want to have a career as a teacher. How they do and how they progress, I don't know. As I said, I know I'm kicking up a little dust, but I'm not an educator.
You've invested in Westminster and also founded Teach for America in Buffalo. What other national organizations should we bring to Buffalo? Or should we increase to footprint of Teacher for America and Westminster?
I'm not sure I understood the question.
So you've invested in Westminster. What other national organizations should we bring to Buffalo first?
I don't know. I don't know. Again, these questions make people think when they're writing these questions that I'm an educator. I'm not an educator. I'm a banker who's had some exposure to our educational system. And I've run into some numbers which I found appalling, and I know that the Buffalo public school system has got a lot of rot in it, and we've got to straighten it out. But I don't know how to do it. And when you look around America, we're about as bad as it gets in the way of educational systems of major cities, but there are a lot of major cities that have poor educational systems, and I don't know of great successes. So a lot of your questions presupposes that I have a deep understanding of education in America, which I don't.
Well, would it be possible to expand a program like the Buffalo Promise Neighborhood?
Well, that'd be kind of nice, but we checked out of Bennett because we couldn't handle it. So I think you got to do more than have a Buffalo Promise Neighborhood.
This question says, okay.
And besides, in one of our big problems with Bennett was dealing with downtown.
This question says, okay, it is broken and there is no silver bullet. Again, how do we fix it? We're trying to read all the questions to be fair.
I'm all for fairness. That's why I'm here today.
Is it possible to switch retirees into Medicaid to save on insurance costs?
I think that's a good question. I think that, again, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, but I believe that the insurance costs in Amherst are based on Medicaid or Medicare, and are quantumly less than the Buffalo Public School System.
How can we leverage the business community's investment in quality charter schools to enable them to replicate?
I think that, again, you're repeating yourself, I'm repeating myself, but I think we've got to, there are a lot of problems. There are more coming.
Many more. We'll be here all night. You're planning on staying overnight, right?
Whatever it takes. What was the question?
Replicating the quality of charter schools and what they offer.
It'd be lovely to have a lot of good charter schools here if we could have a lot of good charter schools here.
Certainly, the hurricane, whichever the hurricane, Katrina, wasn't it, that did a lot of damage, damaged the whole New Orleans public school system, so that now they have a bunch of charter schools, and it's working much better, I think, except where it isn't.
And there are some.
But overall, I think the quality of education in New Orleans got a lot better.
But there are still some that argue that they are not performing as well as some state that they are.
I'm sure of my numbers when it comes to the Buffalo public school system. I don't know. I'm not an educator. I don't know how to solve the problem. But taking my banking experience, I guess if all of a sudden I was made the czar of the Buffalo public school system, which I have no intentions of becoming, I would go around and speak to the best and the brightest who had some success in education and figure out what to do. But today, I know our system's rotten. I don't know what the cure is.
How can we leverage the business community's investment in quality charter schools to... Oh, we already read that one, sorry. Similar. How can we inspire students to want to learn?
Having better schools.
What role do community race relations play in a student's success?
Ooh. At Highgate Heights, I don't know what the number is. I think 95% of the kids in Highgate Heights are African American. And there's, and the 5% are kind of go in the several categories of undetermined. And but they're coming from 17 busloads from all around town, and people, and a lot of them are I'm sure have parents searching for a good school. They dump the school one year, school A one year, and go to school B the next, and then travel all around. They don't get to know the people in the community. There's no sense of community. That just is awful. So a good start would be to have community schools.
So a time to go back to that neighborhood style school and stop the busing of what has occurred.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Would you want to move your kid around to school after school because every school was failing and you didn't know anybody and no parents in the school anyhow because you'd, unless it happened to, by chance? It's a nutty system.
How do you address the profound poverty in communities if students stay within those communities for school? So if they are staying in their neighborhood school?
I think poverty is a huge problem. 82% of the kids in the public school systems get free and reduced lunch. But it's something we've got to deal with, and I'm sure that poor communities would bond together more if children were all going to the same school and the parents were talking to each other every day.
That leads us into a question really about parent engagement. How do you address, and as a community, the lack of parental support, family dysfunction that many of our students are facing every day when, of course, they have all those struggles just to get to school?
Very serious problem. And again, it's a problem. Problem of poverty is not unique to Buffalo. Although I say that Buffalo is the third poorest city in the United States. Although the mayor corrects me and says we're the fifth poorest, I'm sure the mayor's right. All cities have of size have tremendous poverty, and it's a very serious problem. And I don't pretend to have the I'm no expert on education. I'm no expert on poverty.
Should there be then a poverty plan put forth, a real poverty plan? We really haven't seen that for our city.
I don't know how to have a poverty plan. I do think it's conceivable to start with a blank piece of paper and come up with a better educational system. And the more we're successful with a good educational system, I'm sure that will reduce poverty. And the reverse, the educational system gets worse, the more it'll increase poverty. It's much harder to get a job.
Gangs are an issue in the Buffalo School District.
Games?
Gangs.
Gangs.
G-A-M-E-S? G-A-N-G-S.
Gangs.
The question is, it's a little bit hard to read here, has anyone considered this issue that is occurring? It's a little bit hard to read. That occurred due to the children being transported at their neighborhood.
I'm sure in a lot of poor neighborhoods, gangs are problems, not only in Buffalo but elsewhere. I was taught when we were involved with Bennett, there were 700 students in the school, and I was told, although there were no statistics, that probably with some 50 to 100 of the students in the school would spend some time either incarcerated or wearing an ankle bracelet, which is kind of scary in itself.
What have you learned from the work at Westminster?
That I maybe should live in my cocoon and just work on being a banker.
You mentioned successes during your speech.
I'm sorry?
You mentioned some success with it during your speech.
Oh, more seriously, I think that if you focus on educating the kids, that's a big step in the right direction. Attendance rate at Westminster is somewhere around 94-95%, and just like in education, just like in life, showing up is 9/10 of the battle. And so I think that's very important. The other is to provide some other amenities, but extra school hours, summer educational facilities, athletic facilities. We even have vegetable gardens, and we have a chef that is interested in teaching the kids more about food than what just gets purchased by the Buffalo Public School System, which is surplus from the United States Department of Agriculture, which I'm not sure I'm sure it has the right number of vitamins and calories and whatever, but it's having the kids eat pizza and French fries, and you get kids eating healthier, that's all part of the program too. So it's a lot of little things.
What suggestions, solutions do you have toward the astronomical cost of quality child care in the city of Buffalo?
I'm too old to know about child care.
It goes on to say that suburban areas such as Amherst offer Head Starts at high costs, and the benefits are unclear. So what should they do in Buffalo? Would you be willing to convene a conversation to build one something, cannot read the word, district of public charter and public schools together?
I give up. What's the question?
I'm not sure. Reading it cold. It sounds like conveying a conversation between the two, charter and public district, to bring some kind of a conversation together.
I think we've got to have some kind of system to put to start again. But what that is, there's got to be a conversation involved on some level, sure.
Are you the one to bring that together?
I'm happy doing what I'm doing. If I can be of some help, if I feel I can be of some help, I'll be glad to help.
Do you see Say Yes as a partner with Turnaround on our public schools? And if so, please be specific.
I've avoided being specific on anything so far. Why should I be specific on this? I think there are a number of things going on now, whether it's Say Yes or Teach for America, or attempts to improve the school system to work to either work outside or push the Buffalo Public School System to do better work, and I think both of them are valuable, but we've got to do a lot more than that.
One more from the audience. You point to the failures of the high schools in Buffalo and suggest the importance of the neighborhood schools. But again, what solutions do you propose for the 12 failing high schools in Buffalo?
I'm a banker. I don't know. I think it's a horrible situation when you think about it. The kids are coming into the high schools unprepared to do high school work, where they're way behind in English language arts and in math. They don't go to school. A third of them miss a whole marking period. You're trying to build on something where the base, the foundation is rotten. It's a tough problem.
In concluding, and knowing all of the folks that are here this evening from many different aspects of life that could help the district, what is your call to action to all of us gathered here tonight to begin? You started this conversation. It is a very needed conversation in this community. How can we all kind of unify and come together to create a solution for our children?
I think we've the numbers prove and the results prove that what we have today doesn't work, and that we need a radical change. And the more you pepper me with these same questions with a different slant, I think you're right to do it, and I feel inadequate in not giving you a clearer answer, although I'm not sure that in the United States of America we have clear answers. But I guess something's got to be done radically and done quickly, and I guess we need to change the system. And when you mentioned charter schools, you mentioned state takeover. I guess those are really the only two viable alternatives that have been mentioned in the questions. And so charter schools, I'm supportive of charter schools, as you can tell from the fact that Westminster Community Charter School is ours. And there have been other successful charter schools in town. There have been charter schools that have been less successful. But I think probably the best way at this point is to have either a state takeover or a city takeover of the school system.
Will you work your power with the experts to accomplish that?
I don't know what power I have, but I'm not shy. I think I've proven that by what I said tonight.
Well, Mr. Wilmers, thank you so much for leading us in this conversation.
I feel like I was a bust.